Welcome everybody to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health and Divine. It's a pleasure with you again, and I'm thankful that you've taken time out of your day to spend part of it with myself and my special guest for this evening. Got a very, very special show lined up, very informative show, a very necessary show. This is one of those shows that can actually help save your life, actually, and increase the quality of your life if you listen. So I'm very, very fortunate to have back as my special guest and brother who's very, very, you know, busy, but yet finds time to come and share with us, the community, his insights. He's been a regular on the show, and I'm very fortunate to have him back as my special guest today. My special guest is Dr. Orwahehi Metorine-Comet. He's been a member of the Osirisset Society since 1975, and he was appointed Orwa, which is Paramount King, by Shechem Ashechem, Dr. Ra'un-Nefer Amin, who is the chief priest and king of the Osirisset Society. Now, as Orwa, Dr. Comet is responsible for guiding the lives of Osirisset's members and the society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He's a member of the society's Carrie Hebb priesthood and headed Osirisset's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University, and most recently has been bestowed the honor of a doctor. He's received his doctorate's degree as well, and he has named and supervised the naming of hundreds of, probably thousands now, of men, women, and children using the process described in his first book, which is African Names, the Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. He's also author of Divine Kingship of Asante, a model for sustainable development of self and community. And it is without further ado that I welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine, Dr. Orwahehi Metorine-Comet. Thank you again for being my guest today.
Thank you for having us.
It's an honor. It's an honor, I say, a Netarak, and I want to welcome all of the members of the Osirisset Society for those who are tuning in, and you know, for those who are online and listening by phone, it's not too late to text somebody else and tell them that Orwa is on the air and going to be discussing a very, very important topic. We're going to be discussing EMF. That's the electromagnetic frequencies. Is it hurting our community? You know, everybody knows nowadays we've gotten so technologically sophisticated and modern. You know, everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody, you know, is we want stuff fast. We're using the microwave. You know, we're doing things that we've done for years without even thinking about it, watching television, doing all of these things and not even concerned with some of the tools, the items that we're using and the effects that they may have on us. We're going to be talking about that today with my special guest today. So, again, it's great to have Dr. Orwahehi Metorine-Comet back with us. But, Dr. Comet, for starters, because I don't want to assume that a lot of people or that everybody knows, everybody that's listening knows, when we say EMF, it's short for electromagnetic frequencies. But beyond that, what is actually EMF when we're talking about EMF? And, you know, we'll be discussing, of course, you know, what we can do about this, but this condition that we're going to be discussing, is it affecting our community? But when we talk about EMF, what exactly are we discussing here?
Well, thank you. Again, we're talking about electromagnetic frequencies. Everything in the universe runs on electromagnetic energy. The problem is that until about 100 years ago, the electromagnetic spectrum was very low in terms of the kinds of and quality of energy. But since the beginning of the development of electricity and radio frequencies, et cetera, we began to fill in the electromagnetic spectrum in areas that in nature occur very, very small amounts, such that But what we're now being affected by is an energy that is not, quote unquote, natural to the environment. It's not, quote unquote, natural to our humans and to the world around us. So we're then beginning to populate this area with these invisible rays, invisible wavelengths, which are affecting things on all levels. And we begin to see some of the effects of this energy as it populates the environment.
You know, what's interesting about that is that, you know, we move through life, you know, we wake up, you know, we go through our normal routines and have no idea about the things that are invisible that are affecting us. You know, we're so visual as, you know, on the human level, you know, we deal with what we see, and what we don't see with the naked eye is oftentimes either just not considered or forgotten about or not given much, you know, much credence, you know. So when we talk about energy and the harmful effects of the items that we use every day, let's look at a few of them. It's like this one that's very, very popular now. Almost everybody has one now. Even children have these. Our parents actually buy these for children as gifts. I mean, just the cell phone. I mean, it's become such a way of life now. It's hard to find people without a cell phone. Matter of fact, it's hard to find people with a landline nowadays, you know, because of the popularity of the cell phone. But there are effects that people are being damaged by this instrument. And before we can get into ways in which we can, you know, talk about mitigating the effects of that, can you talk about the cell phone, for one, and the effects that EMF plays, or the role that EMF plays, even with the cell phone, an item that we use every day?
Okay, well, let's put it in perspective. Unfortunately, we are not able to do visuals with this presentation here. But if people can imagine the wavelength of energy, electromagnetic spectrum of energy. Everyone has seen that there's a spectrum of energy where we have visible light. That's the part of where we can see things taking place. And then there's ultraviolet rays. Everybody's familiar with that. And then there's X-rays and nuclear rays, nuclear radiation. Now, the X-ray and nuclear radiation and gamma rays, et cetera, all that's a part of what we call the ionizing radiation spectrum. And then we drop down the UV light, and then the visible light, that's the part that we use to see. And then below that, there's infrared. And everybody's familiar with infrared light, or should be. And then, but below that, then we have RF radiation, that's radio frequency radiation, which includes microwaves, cell phones, tablets, computers, etc. And then ELF radiation, which is electro low frequency radiation. Now, ionizing radiation is easy to see the damage. When you take we all know that if you take too many X-rays, you can develop cancer because it destroys cells. We all know that ultraviolet light can cause problems for people in terms of developing cancer. And we all know that nuclear energy can cause really damaging situations because we've seen the effects of nuclear radiation as the bombs have been dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Visible light is pretty safe. That's the safe light. But in the infrared light is being used now for healing purposes, right? A lot of people can buy, you can buy infrared, like saunas, et cetera, which are very good for pulling toxins out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go below that, when you get down below that 300 gigahertz and going down, then we get into microwave radiation. Now, microwaves have been on the market since the 70s, 60s, 80s, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Microwaves were first discovered, and microwaves work on what we call radar. Radar and microwaves are the same energy. Matter of fact, the earlier microwave ovens were called radar ovens.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounded a little harsh, so they changed it to microwave.
It does.
Yeah. When you wouldn't have want to have a radar range, but you would take a microwave oven, right? So they changed exactly. The microwave. And these have been things that have been on the market for a number of years. Now, along came, that's the part of the radio frequency that operates cell phones and tablets and computers and Wi-Fi. All that works in the RF frequency. Now, it's been assumed that these things have been safe, or and we'll emphasize the word assumed, because from the earlier testing that the government, the Navy did and the government did back in the 1950s and 40s and 50s and 60s, when they were just first discovered radar, they found out this stuff is dangerous, so much so that people who worked with these energies and these radar guns, et cetera, had to create a distance, had to put some distance between them and the source of energy, so that also they were developing problems. But then the energy was reduced, supposedly, and it was put into these different structures like microwave ovens. And we've been told that the microwave oven is where the microwaves are generated, and they bounce around in the oven, and they cook things largely because of the fat and water content of the foods, right? So when you put something in the microwave oven, what enables it to heat, it doesn't heat it externally. It heats the water in it and the fat in the food, and that's what cooks it. Now, the assumption that we also have been told is that the microwaves stay in the oven. Let me just give you an example. I was in my mother's house in Indiana, and this was a brand new microwave that I had purchased. And I have a meter that measures the amount of microwave radiation in the environment. And I was testing the radiation in the den, which is about 30 feet from the oven, where it was in the kitchen. And she turned on the microwave oven to heat her coffee, as she normally does. And I got a spike in my meter. I said, wow. So I go back and I retest it and find the same deal. Brand new oven, but this radiation was coming, traveling 30, 40, 50 feet from the oven, outside the oven, and affecting everything in the environment. Now, cell phones, tablets, Wi-Fi, all work on the same energy. They all work on this radiation, this microwave radiation. And we said microwaves cook food because of the fat and the water. Well, this radiation, our bodies are 70% water, and a large percent of that, of the rest of the percentage, is fat. And our brain is largely fat and water. So what scientists are discovering is that microwave radiation, these radio frequencies, heat up, and we're not talking about SAR, or which is the measurement of the amount of heat coming off the device. We're talking about the energy from the radiation itself is heating up substances, our body material, fat and water, and altering the DNA in the body. So that certain things like this are beginning to happen. More and more people, especially young people, are beginning to have certain kinds of brain cancer. There are certain brain cancers that they've linked to this microwave radiation, this glioblastoma, as they call them. People have also begun to develop, women have begun to develop breast cancer from carrying cell phones around in their breasts for periods of time, over periods of time. Now, radiation, this radiation takes, cancer takes years to develop, 15, 20 years. So it's, the problem with the studies are that unless you can do a study on human beings for a 15 or 20 year period of time, you can't conclusively say that this particular device is causing cancer. But what you can, what has been shown, though, there was a study that was done by the NIH, completed it last year, and what it showed that was that it was a $25 million study, and what they did, they mimicked human exposure to Wi-Fi and cell phone frequencies with rats. You know, because most studies are done with rats in terms of before they get to human beings. And what they discovered was that these rats that were exposed to this microwave radiation, these radio frequencies, had problems developing brain cancer and cancers in the heart, tumors in the heart, as well as male rats began to become sterile or less productive in terms of sperm count. And this had nothing to do with the heat coming off the device, because the devices were far away from the test subjects. So this is the first conclusive study done in the U.S., or the most extensive study, which is linking Wi-Fi. When I say Wi-Fi, microwave, cell phone, it's all the same radiation. It's all the same radio frequency radiation. The first conclusive study, not conclusive study done on in a large term, that links it to brain cancer and these other tumors in rats and reduced sperm count. Even though a number of studies, there's been like thousands of studies done on this stuff, and 90-some percent, the most recent figures are 90-some percent of all the studies that have been done, which are done independent of funding coming from the cell phone industry, have shown that there's a biological effect on human beings based on the exposure to this radiation. Now, the thing is this. People are carrying around cell phones in their pocket. Now, in the manuals, it tells you, and this is based on the SAR readings, the heat that's coming off the devices, they tell you don't keep the phone at least 5 millimeters away from your body. People are putting them in their pockets. People putting them in their bras, people putting them directly on their body. So that's a violation of the heat. That's the effect of the heat of the device causing. But the non-ionizing radiation, the heat that has come off these devices, they haven't even measured this stuff in terms of protection. So you have to really be mindful that it's just not about keeping away from the body, five millimeters or half an inch or an inch or so. But you also have to be mindful, because we're also always or all being bombarded with this radiation all day long. Everywhere you go, you're being exposed to Wi-Fi signal.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on your computer, turn on the mic, turn on the Wi-Fi, or your cell phone, use your cell phone, and see how many different Wi-Fi networks you're exposed to. So we're there's 24/7 we're being exposed to this radiation. And there's no protections, there's no guarantees, there's no safeguards being put in place, and the public is not being warned of the potential health hazards of this radiation. So that's why we're having this event on Saturday, to expose some of this information to the general public so that we can begin to take preventative measures and how we can protect ourselves from the potential hazards of this. Because, again, cell phones are just relatively new. We haven't had the 15 to 20-year period of time of mass exposure that it takes for cancer to develop. But one study I saw said that a person who has used a cell phone for a year before the age of 20 has a 700% chance, greater chance of developing brain cancer than someone who did not.
Wow. Wow. Now that's deep. Now that's, of course, I would assume taking in regular cell phone use, right? Somebody just that's talking on it normally, not using the speaker, as opposed to, having the phone on the side of their head. And even if they did use the speaker, which I assume would be one of the preventive measures, you know, hey, don't talk with the phone to your head, use the speaker instead. But you know, just from the radiation that you were talking about, that extends beyond that five millimeter? that distance that extends beyond that, you could have it unless you have the speakerphone, have them on speaker. You better put them on an intercom or something and really get away from the phone, because you could still be exposed to that radiation, correct?
Yeah. If you're holding the phone, remember, it affects water and fat. So if you're holding it in your hand, it's affecting the cells, the DNA in the cells of your hand. And the cells in your hand are not just limited to the hand. The blood carries these cells, some of the cells around. So even if you're holding the phone in your hand, which is better than putting it to your head, you're still affecting the body in an adverse way because it's altering the DNA of the body itself.
Wow, wow. It seems that, you know, it would have been good if they'd have done these tests before they put the test that you, you know, that you saw, the $25 million test that they did at NIH. It would have been nice if they'd have did that before they put these products on the market.
Yeah, it would have, but they wouldn't have made the money then.
Yeah.
It's about
good point.
Money. Because, you know, back in 96, they really paid, FCC was paid off, members of Congress were paid off by these cell phone industries, these phone companies, to pass this legislation without any kind of health concerns or specifications.
You know,
they just passed a new regulation. That was up to 4G. Everybody's been talking about 5G. 5G has less documented evidence or supportive evidence than 4G, and they just passed that regulation. And these Congress people are getting paid all the while to allow this stuff to come into the neighborhood. And this is an important point here. The Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association is a trade association which represents all wireless communication companies. And they testified before Congress, and they said this: industry has not said once that cell phones are safe. Because they don't want to deal with the liability as people begin to get ill.
You know what's so interesting, Brother Orwai, is that even, you know, we're talking about cell phones. We mentioned cell phones and we touched on microwaves. But even as I was, preparing for the show and looking, you know, doing a little research, I saw that there are some other things that people never even thought of. I mean, but now even looking back, you know, the one that jumped out at me was electric blankets. You know,
yep.
Back in the day, it was nothing for somebody to get an electric blanket to heat themselves. You know, looking back, it seems kind of crazy to have done. I mean, I've used an electric blanket before, you know, but, you know, looking back at it, it seems kind of crazy now to even, you know, think that you could wrap yourself up in a blanket that's being heated electrically and not think that there could be some other effects that blanket might have on you other than keeping you warm. Also, electric razors. I saw that, you know, they got issues with EMF. Electric toothbrushes, even cordless phones, you know, living near power lines. I mean, there's just so many things that we just take for granted that, you know, having this conversation is so very important because of the things that we do take for granted. I mean, of course, you would think power lines, you know, yeah, I could see how that could be. But electric toothbrush, you know, these are things that people really need to consider. And I'm sure that you know of more than the ones that I just mentioned.
Yeah, but the deal is this. Anything that's electrical creates an electromagnetic frequency field. And electromagnetic fields, all these fields, again, are artificial compared to the natural electromagnetic energy of the Earth. So as we become more wired and tapped into, the more exposed we are to electrical fields, these electromagnetic frequencies, the more damage and health-related consequences we're going to have. It's not only that, it's the electricity running through the wires, the walls in your house. That's generating electromagnetic frequencies. Like there's a way of, we can measure radio frequencies. I have a meter which measures the radio frequencies like I was discussing with the microwave oven. But I also have another meter which measures the electromagnetic frequencies coming through the electricity in the house. And so we've checked it out in my house and found that certain places at nighttime, we have to unplug everything from those outlets in order to reduce the energy to a safe level for someone to sleep there. Because there's a lot of adverse effects that people are having, which are not always attributed to the actual source, but people are developing all kinds of problems, not just cancer. Cancer is a big one, but there's all kinds of other problems that people are developing as a result of being exposed to these frequencies.
You know, that's interesting because you do have people, cases where people who may have never smoked a cigarette in their life, you know, and wonder why they went to the doctor and the doctor found, you know, that they had cancer, or people that might even be vegetarian or vegan, you know, who have thought that, you know, they were taking preventive measures by, you know, not eating animals, and, you know, which is, of course, a good thing, but they may still come down with a cancer and not known why, you know, thinking that, you know, I live a healthy lifestyle, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I exercise, I do all of these things, and still, how did this happen to me, you know, and not even consider the topics, you know, that we're discussing here today.
Yeah, but what do they tell us one of the major contributors to illness is?
Lack of exercise is one, smoking, lack of exercise, smoking, not getting enough sleep. I'm sure there are more.
Okay. You ever heard that stress?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That's number one, right?
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is that these electromagnetic frequencies cause a stress response in the body.
Mm.
The cells respond as though you're in a stressful situation. The same kinds of toxic responses that we get when you're in a clinical stress is just not your boss yelling at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or having to go in and work with your boss. All these electromagnetic frequencies that cause a stress response in the cells of our bodies, so the cells and the DNA of our bodies are breaking down, being affected because of these stress responses. That's caused by the radiation itself.
Wow.
So you know it's an underlying.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, no. You know, because I just pictured somebody sitting down meditating in a room where all of these electromagnetic frequencies are present, you know, and of course this person might feel like they're in a deep state of relaxation, and all the while they're being stressed, you know, at the same time while they're going into trance.
Well, but the beautiful part about that is that meditation is a natural stress reducer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are things that these frequencies are causing, but there's also things we can do and should be doing that will help mitigate against the effects of the radiation. And meditation is one of those things.
Meditation would act as a diode of sorts, huh?
Well, I don't know about the diode, but it definitely helps to monitor or reduce the stress response in the body. So even though you may be affected by stress, you can mitigate it by to the meditative state, not just there, but in the brain itself.
Well, let's talk about that, because I'm sure that a lot of people will feel like, okay, well, I got it. I understand. I heard exactly what the brother said. Now, I need to know what are some things that I can do to help mitigate, you know, again, the effects of this meditation. Of course, you said it's one. That would be a big one, because if meditation, not if, but since meditation acts as a stress reducer, then that should be first thing you do. Matter of fact, that should be done probably several times a day, in the morning before you go out, and probably in the evening to help to eliminate the stress that your body underwent, the cells underwent during the course of the day.
Okay, but the problem with that is that's good for you and I, but how about our 5-year-old child?
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So, we have to look at things, because what's happening is our children are all being affected by this energy as well. And the same effect it has on us is to have a double or triple effect on children, because our bodies are developed. Our brains, our skulls are fully hardened. Children's skulls are still developing. Their bodies and the organs are still developing. So the effect that these radiations have on us is far greater when children are exposed to them. So we have to do things to mitigate against the effects of our children. And unfortunately, there's no discussion. Companies are now marketing cell phone and wireless devices for children. You see children all the time with tablets in their lap. Tablets,
mm-hmm.
in order to be safely used, should be at least 20 inches away from the body. Because, and again, children's exposure to this brain, these people, I encourage people to go to a website called ehtrust.org, and there they will find all the information they need to find in terms of the science and the research and the effects of these radiations on our people, on people and children especially. But you'll see some good images there, like they'll show you a 5-year-old holding a cell phone to the head and a 10-year-old and an adult. And what you'll see is that the radiation, because the radiation penetrates, microwaves penetrate through things, right? That's how we're able to communicate. I'm in my house right now, and if I turn on the Wi-Fi on my computer, I'll be picking up signals from somebody's house to maybe a half a block away. So it penetrates through walls, it penetrates through stone, it penetrates through bone. So an adult, it may go in maybe a quarter of the way into the head, but a 5-year-old child may cover like 2/3 of their head. So their whole, basically almost their whole brain is being exposed to this energy. But not only that, then you have people putting them in, they're using them in schools now, tablets. They're putting Wi-Fi in schools. And so young people, very young people, are now being exposed to this Wi-Fi energy, which is dangerous because, again, it's shown, this NIH study shows that this radiation has a biological effect on human tissue, or tissue, rats, et cetera. So much so that many countries are now banning the use of Wi-Fi in children at schools, young people's schools. And there's areas in this country that are beginning to restrict it as well. So like Maryland has guidelines, New Jersey, California, Canada, a number of places have begun to pass regulations restricting access to Wi-Fi and exposure to young people because they're beginning to see that this stuff is the potential dangers of it.
You know, if you could talk for a moment, brother, about just the, as man evolves, you know, we should be getting smarter. You know, the longer we're on the planet, you know, you would think that after having been on the planet for eons and centuries and millenniums, you know, that we would be getting smarter, and that we would do things to help preserve not only the life of the people that currently inhabit the planet, but future generations as well. And when you take information like what you're sharing, again, you talked about the children who are the future, and you would think that man would be doing things to protect the ozone layer, to, you know, protect the water, to make sure that the water's safe, and, you know, all of these, you know, be really concerned about pollution and so forth. Could you talk for a moment just about man and its man's evolution? And it seems as though, as opposed to becoming more, I want to use the word enlightened, but, you know, it seems like with all of the new, quote, advances in technology that we're going backwards.
Well, we're not going backwards. It's just a manifestation of where the person is. I mean, you've seen these movies, right? Star Wars and the Stardate 2021-35. He's still fighting wars with big guns. So, you know, that's where's the advance? So the advancement is we develop a new way of gun, a new type of gun, but the evolution of the person. The spiritual evolution is not there. And that's, again, that's where Western man is in terms of his cultivation, his experience. It's like Dr. King said, you know, our scientific power has outrun our spiritual power. We have guided missiles and misguided men. That's the human. You know, that's the level of the human experience. So that's why we impress upon people that we have to begin to evolve and begin to awaken our divine nature. It's the higher parts of our spirit, the divine parts of our spirit, which will show us the folly of believing that it's about making money now. You know, it's, indigenous people have an understanding that man is a part of the world, the universe, the nature. And if you don't acknowledge that part, if you believe that you have to control nature or defeat nature, then you're going to end up defeating yourself because we're reliant upon that very nature in terms of natural environment that we are now trying to control.
Mm-hmm.
So Western man, this is where he is. He's everywhere he's gone. Unfortunately, he's tried to control nature, but ultimately he's going to be just undermining and undoing, because we can see the effects. When climate change is beginning to take effect, it ain't going to matter how much money you have. It's going to affect everyone. Now, you think you might be able to build you a spaceship and get off the Earth. Maybe so. But it's going to affect your little ability to survive.
Could you talk for a moment, and I don't want to take the conversation elsewhere, but this planet that we live on, just from the comedic spiritual perspective, is considered Geb. This is where we live. This is our physical home. And if we don't protect it, if we don't take care of it, if we don't, you know, cultivate it and, you know, do everything that we can to ensure that, you know, that we have good food to eat, clean water to drink, fresh air to breathe, you know, then this Geb realm that we're in, that we call home, it's going to pose, I would assume, challenges towards our spiritual evolution, because a lot of our time will be spent trying to mitigate, you know, against things that we shouldn't even be dealing with. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's more of a reflection of the level of human, the spiritual evolution of Western man at this point. Western man is the dominant force on the planet at this point. But because of his lack of spiritual education, elevation, he's now in that childlike phase. Children, you can't tell a child that, oh, don't do that because it's going to affect your ability to survive 20 years from now. Children don't live, they don't understand that space. You know, it's like that. There's a Korean in proverb which says, when all the trees have been cut down, when all the animals have been hunted, when all the waters have been polluted, when all the air is unsafe to breathe, and then will you discover that you cannot eat money, right? Western man is looking for instant gratification and gets that through money. Money buying things and more things and things, but without the understanding or the insight to figure out, well, what's the consequences? Understand that, as Ma'at and spiritual tradition says, that everything is interdependent and interconnected. That what I do in one area is going to affect everything else on some level or another.
Mm-hmm.
And until I can function and understand that I have to work in the world as a balanced agent, as a protective agent of the universe, of the planet, of the nature, of my spirit, of Geb, then I'm going to have adverse effects. I mean, people always argue, well, is it nature or nurture? And the answer is both. Right, that the environment. Let's look at an example of this. If we have a pond, and in this pond there are fish, and in this pond we start pulling out the fish and examining them, and if 5% of the fish are ill, then we will say, well, something's wrong with these fish, something they're doing wrong. But if we take the same pond and we examine the fish, and we have 60% of the fish that are ill, then we know there's something wrong with the pond. Well, that's where we are now. The Earth is being affected adversely because of all this misguided men who are manipulating the resources in tragic ways. And so, therefore, we're all being affected adversely because of it. But that's the level of his spiritual evolution. He hasn't grown to the fact, the understanding that everything is connected together.
Well, if we could talk for a moment about the way out, and I know that this will be, you know, some of this will be discussed at the workshop on the 20th. What's the way out? I mean, I know there are things that we can do to mitigate the effects of cell phones. There are certain products that are out now, and you can talk about those that can help mitigate the, you know, harmful effects of the EMF. But could you talk about the way out, Orla?
Well, we have to take this thing on several different levels. First of all, the reality for many young people is that they've become addicted to these devices. The same way that some people are addicted to drugs, many young people are addicted to these devices. And if you don't believe it, try to take it away from them for a week and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because the developers of these apps, et cetera, have programmed into the devices and the interaction with devices this dopamine hit that people get from interacting through this device. So that we are always constantly seeking this reaffirming that's taking place. And some of these guys who have been engaged in this are now warning that the very fabric of society is at threat because of the development of social media and the reliance on these devices, et cetera. So that's what we got to begin to wean and restrict access to these devices for our children. And we got to do it in safe ways, first of all. Let's look at it. I mean, there's a lot of ways that this thing this issue is so huge that you can almost affect it from many different types of ways. For example, there's a city in Europe, I think it's Copenhagen perhaps, where they're putting padding around lampposts because people are bumping in the lampposts while they're walking down the street texting. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Go on the internet and look at videos of people walking down the street while they're texting. You'll see all kinds of things. This one lady falls into this basically manhole. It's not a manhole. You know the thing where they open up, they have the metal over the sidewalks where they used to take stuff down into the basements of businesses? This thing is open. This lady's walking down the street texting. She falls over this thing down into this hole. People are getting hit by cars, by bicycles, because they're walking down texting. People are having accidents, automobile accidents. So there's the danger of distracted texting. That's an issue. That's one level. Then there's also that they're now discovering and are determining that young people are developing what they call text neck, T-E-X-T-N-E-C-K, where they're being able to show through x-rays that they're developing a curvature of the spine because they keep their head tilted down far too often.
Wow.
So this is an anatomical issue now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got safety concerns with just people just not mindful when they're doing these things. You got anatomical concerns because of the use of these things. We also have the effect of the radiation itself on tissues in the body. Male sperm count, men who carry the phone around their pocket are developing lower sperm count, and it's altering the DNA in the testicles.
Wow.
It affects women the same way. Women are carrying it in their pocket, so it's affecting the ovaries the same way. In children, in schools, they have these smart boards, these tablets. All these things are causing adverse effects. One of the ways that this radiation affects people is it alters the production of melatonin in the brain. Now, melatonin is the substance, the chemical, that enables us to get into what we call deep sleep, that rapid eye movement sleep. And if we don't get enough melatonin, or if the light imbalance is thrown off, people don't get enough natural light, dark light, darkness, etc., to produce melatonin, then it's going to affect their sleep. If it affects their sleep, it's going to affect all areas of their body in terms of functioning. So many people are having problems sleeping because of overexposure to these frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some people are sleeping with the phones in their bed with them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple people have been seriously damaged. I think one girl was killed because the phone caught on fire in their bed.
Mm-hmm.
People have been talking on the phones while charging. They've been known to explode in their hands while charging.
Wow.
One couple of people were killed. A guy in India, a guy in, I think maybe Jamaica or someplace, were killed because they were talking on the phone while this thing was charging. People have been disformed because they were talking on the phone while it was charging. Matter of fact,
wow.
CeeLo, the musician, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking on his phone in the studio. You can Google this and find it. He was talking on the phone in the studio. It wasn't even charging, and the phone exploded, knocked him out on the floor. He later posted a message to his friends, everybody, that he was okay. So these things are dangerous. They're dangerous physically. They're dangerous physically. They're dangerous psychically. And they're dangerous on the different levels. So many school systems are now beginning to restrict access, or suggesting that parents restrict access. Because a big problem with teenagers, youth, is that they're not getting good sleep. And when you affect the sleep mechanisms and the stress caused by these things, there's an increase in potential suicides and thoughts of suicide and those kind of things. That's one of the effects of this exposure to RF frequencies.
You know, Brother Orwell, you're going to make me throw away my phone, man. You know, I mean, this guy, wow. This, I knew this show was going to be awesome, man. But, I mean, just the information that you're sharing today is really, it really, I hope everybody has paused, you know, like I have. I mean, if this doesn't make you stop and turn around, you know, nothing will. So, wow, that is something. I mean, because cell phones, again, microwaves, these are things that people, I mean, trying to get somebody to not even use their microwave it would be probably just as tough as trying to get people not to stop using their, you know, using their cell phones. And I know even with microwaves, people stand in front of it oftentimes while it's cooking the food. You know, they're standing directly in front of it, taking that direct hit while the food is cooking, and then eat the food that was cooked and radiated. I mean, so there are a lot of things that you talked about, different levels here, man. I mean, that is, wow. So, again, the way out, what I know that there's a product, a bag even, that you can actually hold your cell phone, that you can put your cell phone in. I believe, don't you carry it over there at Simbab, to the bag that you can put your cell phone in, and it's designed so that the EMF frequencies won't affect the carrier of that?
Yeah, well, there's different shielding devices. Shielding is one of the ways that you can protect yourself. distance is another way you can protect yourself, meaning the closer you are to a source of radiation, the more potential hazards you have. So the further you are, then the better. So then Wi-Fi, let's just go through some ideas in terms of things people should do to mitigate this energy. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some stuff from this first set of instructions is from the American Pediatrics Association, American Academy of Pediatrics. In 2016, they issued some warnings in terms of people and how they should protect their children. Healthy Children website on cell phone enabled cell phone radiation and children's health. What parents need to know. The website reiterated children's unique vulnerability to cell phone radiation, stating, another problem is that the cell phone radiation test used by the FCC is based on the device's effect on a larger adult, not children. Children's skulls are thinner and can absorb more radiation. The AAP issued the following cell phone safety tips to specifically reduce the exposure to wireless radiation. Use text messaging when possible, and use cell phones in speaker mode or with a hands-free kit. That's the first thing people can do. Second thing, when talking on a cell phone, try to hold it at least an inch away further from the head. Make short calls and essential calls on phones. Avoid carrying your phone against the body like in a pocket, sock, bra. Cell phone manufacturers can't guarantee that the amount of radiation you're absorbing will be at safe levels. Do not talk on the phone while texting or driving. The increased risk of automobile crashes. Exercise caution when using the phone and texting and walking and performing other activities. Distracted walking injuries are also on the rise. We discussed some of that. If you plan to watch a movie on your device, download it first, then switch to airplane mode and watch it in order to avoid unnecessary radiation. So this is something that people need to do with children. If they give children a tablet to play with, not that they should, but if they do, because, again, they're creating this artificial world for the child, which is beginning to have problems with social issues coming up later. But at any rate, if you're going to let a child play with one of these devices, you should put on airplane mode, download the app, or whatever it is, put on airplane mode, and then safe, because airplane mode blocks the radiation, the cell phone radiation, the Wi-Fi radiation. Keep an eye on your signal strength. Go ahead.
Well, so with the airplane mode, then if it blocks the radiation, anybody, even adults, when it's on airplane mode, can you just use it like you would normally use it if it's in airplane mode?
No, you cannot receive any calls. What enables you to receive the calls is the radiation. The signals carried over the radio frequencies or radiation. And so once you block the microwave radiation, you can't receive calls, but you also can't be getting radiation. Keep an eye on signal strength. How many bars you have is a signal of how hard your phone has to work. So the less strong the bars on your phone, the stronger your phone has to work, hence the more radiation is going to develop. Avoid making calls in cars, elevators, trains, or buses. Cell phones work harder to get a signal through metal, so the power levels increase. Remember, cell phones are not toys or teething items. So and people should also know this, that you're just not being irradiated by the phone when you're using it. If I'm walking around with the phone in my pocket or driving in a car with the phone, cell phones work by sending out a signal, catching a signal from tower to tower. So it moves from one tower to the next. It's a bump in the signal. So even though the phone may not be talking on the phone, if you're moving around from signal tower to signal tower, you're still irradiating your body because of the effect of the phone. I mean, the way the phone works.
So what about turning the phone off? Just turning it off when you're not using it. If you're gonna use a cell phone, I mean, just if you're not using it, by all means, I would think that if you're carrying it around with you and it's not in use, and it probably won't. I'm gonna leave that answer to you, or I don't know if that will affect or how much it will affect the amount of radiation that is being emitted. Because we did a show once before, you and I were talking, and we talked about how, you know, for the longest time, people thought that even, you know, sleeping with the television in the bedroom was fine, and all you had to do was turn the TV off and that everything was good. And then it was like, okay, well, no, let me unplug it. And they thought that was good. And he's like, no, you know, you need to get that thing out of the room, you know. So even if the phone is off, it still poses potential hazards, correct?
No. If the phone is off, it's the same effect as if it's on airplane mode. It's not signal. You're not picking up any signals. So you don't have to worry about it. So if you're going to turn the phone, right around the phone off, you're safe. Let me just read something from, this is from the New Jersey Education Agency. There's some stuff here. Desktops, laptops, tablets, e-book readers, printers, projectors, smart boards, smart TVs, cell phones, cordless phones, and wireless networks, Wi-Fi, have become ubiquitous in schools. At their best, they are powerful tools for education. At their worst, they threaten the physical and mental health of teachers, paraeducational, secretaries, librarians, other school staff, and students who spend numerous hours using these devices. Physical health risks from electronic devices include pain and tingling from repetitive strain injuries in the hands and wrists, pain in the neck, shoulders, back, etc., dry, burning, itching eyes, blurred vision, headaches, altered sleep patterns, and next day fatigue from exposure to blue screen light, distracted driving, and other various health problems from exposure to radiation. Now, the blue screen driving, they found that children, in terms of their inability to get in deep sleep, and other people as well, these things produce, the light come off these devices is what they call blue screen. And unless you put a screen over your device, which blocks the blue screen, or you can download the app onto your phone, which blocks the blue screen, then it affects your melatonin production like over an hour or two after, even if you turn the phone off. So people who are on the device, a computer or whatever, and they try to go to bed, it's going to affect the sleep patterns for maybe up to 2 hours after they close it off. So they recommend that children not be exposed to these things for a period of 2 hours before going to bed. Mental health risks due to stress due to raised expectations of multitasking, productivity, and proficiency with devices, dealing with manufactured devices, student and college distraction from an addiction to devices, and intrusion of devices into non-work time. Howard University did a study, and they were doing a study on the effect that cell phones had on learning. And they're not talking about radiation. The study went like this. They had students put a cell phone in the room. They would put the phone face down, an arm's length away from the student. So the radiation was not a factor. And they found that students were distracted most often because people kept checking the phone. So it affected their learning abilities. Then they did the same thing where they put the phone, it's still in the room, but they turned it off and they put it in the room a distance away. And it still affected people because they would keep getting up and going to turn the phone on and checking it. The only way they would be able to mitigate this as a negative impact on learning was to have the phone in a separate room altogether. So these are things that people need to know about students and their children and having these things. Okay, Wi-Fi devices emit radiation. Radio frequency, electromagnetic frequency, EMFs, radiation is sent and or received by the antennas of phones, routers, and other wireless devices. RF radiation is capable of causing cancer, reproductive, neurological, and ocular effects. The amount of radiation exposure received depends on the amount of time exposed and the distance from the source. Radiation levels fall off exponentially with distance from antennae. If you double the distance, the radiation is 4 times less. If you triple the distance, it is 9 times less, and so on. Children and developing fetuses are particularly at risk because their bodies are still growing. People with impaired medical devices are at risk for device interference. Women who are pregnant should not have these devices near them because, it goes into the body and affects the fetus. Mm-hmm. They have measured the rise of a lot of the different illnesses relative to exposure to Wi-Fi mechanism. Not saying that's the only cause. I'm gonna read some of them. Some of these problems that they've been discussing: asthma. Mothers who have asthma are people who are exposed. Children in the utero are developing asthma. Autism, changes in genetic damage, cancer. Brain cancer. Brain cancer, this glioblast is increasing, the one cancer that's increasing throughout the world. Breast cancer, we talked about that. Electromagnetic hypersensitivity. Fertility, leukemia in children. Fertility, reproductive health. Erectile dysfunction, pregnancy. Sperm defects. Testes deformation. Insomnia, liver damage, tendinitis, ptosis skin syndrome, toxic exposure. I mean, there's so many different ways that this stuff is affecting people that people really need to be mindful and looking out and protecting themselves and their family.
You know what's interesting, Brother Orwell, is you take pregnancy, you can have a woman who it might be a couple of months before she even knows she's pregnant. You know, and during that time, being exposed herself, and as a result of her being exposed, the unborn fetus being exposed as well. So, you know, just women in general, you know, if you're of childbearing age, you know, you really need to be, I'm not going to say really as opposed to anybody else, but I mean, yeah, if you're carrying the child, you're carrying the future. So not only you, but your family, the unborn child, because particularly you won't know for several months whether or not you're even pregnant, and that's a whole lot of exposure to radiation that your child could undergo unnecessarily just because you don't even know you're pregnant, you know? So definitely you want to take that into consideration as well. Wow, or wow, you've laid out a lot, man. I mean, I don't even want to use my phone anymore, man. I mean, you know. But what kind of mechanisms or devices are there out there that people can use? Again, I mentioned diodes earlier. People do, buy different devices to help, mitigate against the effects of cell phone usage and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, relative to diodes, people use these and people say that it does this and that. There's no way of measuring it, right?
Okay.
If I take a phone that has a diode on it and I turn it on and I take the same phone without the diode, my meter's going to get the same amount of microwave radiation reading with the diode and without the diode. Now, people
mm-hmm.
make the diode say that it mitigates it so that the radiation isn't as harmful or something like that. But there's no way of measuring that. So I don't trust the diode thing.
Okay.
There's fabrics, there's stuff that you can use to block the signal, keep the signal away from the body. So if my meter can't measure it, then I'm not going to trust it, because you never know what's going to be. Right?
I feel
maybe
you.
The diodes work. I don't know. I can't say that. I can't say they do. I can't say they don't. But I can say that the radiation on my meter is the same as though there's no diode there at all. And I know the radiation is a problem. So,
mm-hmm.
again, distance, keeping the phone away from the body, keeping the phone in speaker mode when you're talking on the phone, getting materials, bags, et cetera, that shield the body from radiation. These are all good things to do. Keeping it out of, away from your body when you're sleeping. Getting your house tested, because, again, you don't have Wi-Fi, but if you're in an apartment building or if you're in the house, your neighbor's got Wi-Fi, and it could be strong enough in your particular area that it's going to adversely affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. I mean, you got to test these things, and you got to know. And unfortunately, most doctors don't have a clue about this stuff, because people come in with these symptoms, and they're being attributed to this or that, but it could be the result of exposure to radiation. For example, in terms of electromagnetic hypersensitivity. Now, this is a general term that they use to talk about people who are affected by these radiations. And they say it's only between like 3-5% of the population. So it's a minimal amount of people. A lot of people say it's psychosomatic, et cetera. But a lot of doctors say that. But the fact of the matter, it's been tested and proven that this stuff exactly does happen to people. And some of the ways it happens, neurologically, anxiety, concentration problems, confusion, depression, dizziness, ringing in ears, fatigue, fever, flu-like symptoms, headache, insomnia, memory loss, nausea, numbness, spatial dissociation, tiredness, and tremors. These are all some of the neurological effects of people who are exposed, who have this condition called electromagnetic sensitivity, meaning they're hypersensitive to this energy. Cardiac and respiratory, asthma, bronchitis, chest pain, heart issues, palpitations, heart rate changes, high and low blood pressure, pneumonia, shortness of breath, sinusitis. Ophthalmological, cataracts, eye pain, pressure or burning, floaters, vision distortions, dermatological, burning sensations, face, neck swelling, facial flushing, itching, rashness, redness, tingling. Now, this is tingling and redness and this dermatological stuff. People talk about 5G. Well, the military has a device that they've developed that works on 5G technology. And what this device is designed to do is disperse crowds. So if say you had a protest, you got 1,000 people in this protest and they're getting rowdy or whatever, they can roll this device up, beam this energy at the group, and you will have to get out of there because it causes this increased sensitivity and burning and itching and stuff on your skin. So this is the same 5G that they're about to roll out throughout the country. Now, it's not going to be as intense, but it's going to be all over the country, all over your city, every 100 feet or so, pole. So the signal's going to be less, but who's to say they can't turn it up? I don't know. And what's the effect it's going to have on people? They're not even testing this stuff. They're just putting it out there, and they're getting paid to do it. Congress is getting bought off. They're getting money in their pockets. They're getting contributions to their campaigns, whatever. So they allow the FCC and the telecommunications industry to put this stuff out here without any caution to the public in terms of possible health. And that's where we
wow.
are.
So what about, let me go back to the cell phones for a second, because I know that people use different things like headsets as opposed to, you know, talking directly. And I know you would probably agree that, yeah, anything, as long as you're not putting the thing to your head, you know, and you're keeping it at a safe distance. What about headsets, earplugs, you know, the earphones or whatever, and Bluetooth? I remember Bluetooth was popular. I haven't seen people with that in a while, but, you know, things of that nature.
Anything that's wireless is problematic. So Bluetooth is a problem because you're still using a wireless signal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using a cable connection headset, if it's a wired cable, meaning the wire runs from the cell phone all the way up to the earbuds, there's a potential problem because the energy travels up the wire. So if you're going to use a headset, you need to do one of two things. If you have a wired headset, you can buy an iron piece of iron, basically, that you can put on the cable, which blocks the radiation from traveling up. The other thing you should buy is a headset that has it's called the Air Tube headset. That's AIR tube headset. So what it is, it's a cable from the phone up to where where it branches off to go to the left and right ears. But the tube between the left, from that junction to the ears, the left and right ears, is an air tube. So the only thing that travels through is the sound. There's no electrical current. There's no wire.
And the purses or pouches that people can actually put their cell phones in to ensure that the radiation doesn't... what's interesting about that, you would think that if a person had the cell phone in their purse or in the pouch, that it would be off anyway unless you're trying to listen to see somebody call you, you know. But I guess the best thing to do would just to turn it off when it's not in use and to follow the instructions that you gave, keep it away from you, use a headset with a air tube, I guess. But there are pouches that people can purchase that actually do shield, the radiation, correct?
That's true. Yes.
Okay.
So we sell some of those pouches. The other thing that they should do in terms of Wi-Fi in the house, because, again, Wi-Fi is constant radiation distribution. So what you can do is this device is called Ethernet over Ethernet over power of Ethernet. And what it is it's a device you buy, you plug it into your router, and then you plug the device into the electrical outlet in your home. It comes with a pair, so you get two of them. One of them you plug from your router, it's the Ethernet cable, Ethernet from the router to the device, then you plug the device into the power of your home. And then the other one you take to another room in your home with the Ethernet cable from the device, and you plug it into the outlet, and you plug your device up like your computer. And what it does is sends the internet signal over the current, the electricity, the wiring in your house. So you don't have to have a Wi-Fi signal. And this is what we've done in our house. So I have I have 10 rooms in my house, three floors. And I have the device plugged into the router down in the living room. And people all over the house just have another device that they plug into the outlet in their room with an Ethernet cable, and they get the Internet signal. Ethernet is safe. because there's no wire, there's no wireless communications, no radio frequencies. So now this may not make any sense to people or make a connection for people, but the federal government does not use Wi-Fi. They use Ethernet connections. I don't know why. Maybe it's because...
Where can people get Ethernet?
These devices, you can buy them online. I mean, at Amazon. There's several companies that make them. TP-Link is one. D-Link makes them. There's a couple others. But make sure you get the ones that, because now they're selling them to have a Wi-Fi function in them that defeats the whole purpose. I'm trying to avoid Wi-Fi, so why are you putting Wi-Fi on the device?
Right. And what are you selling it? How are you promoting it? You know, how are you promoting? What's the benefit? You know, how are you promoting its benefits if
they're thinking, they're thinking that, like, if, for example, if you're far away, depending on the strength of your Wi-Fi, you might have to be like a part of the house where the signal is very weak. So it's like a booster, basically.
Wow. So, and how do you spell that? Because I want people to know how they can, you know, that what it is that they when they. Because I know after hearing this show, people are going to be like, "I need that. I need to get that Ethernet."
Google.
Okay.
Power over Ethernet.
And Ethernet is E T H A. That's the ether. E T H A.
E T H E R.
Oh, Ethernet. Okay, Ethernet. Okay, E T H E R. Ethernet.
You know, before there was Wi-Fi, everybody was using Ethernet cables to connect their computers. It's a far more, it's more reliable. It's less damaging. There's no radiation involved.
You know, this is very, very serious, and I don't want people to underestimate the seriousness or diminish the seriousness of the discussion that you're hearing concerning this. People, again, when you start talking about stuff that's invisible, a lot of times people, you see the effects, but you don't necessarily see or connect the cause. So I want people to go back and listen to this show again, and by all means, share this show. If there was ever a show that needed to be shared, this is it. You know, you need to share this show with your loved ones, with people that you know, because, again, it was shared. Somehow this information came to you, your ears, so make sure that you get this information to as many ears as you can, and you can do that just by sharing the link. That is very, very important. You could have people in your family that are being affected by this, friends and family members that are being affected by EMF, and it can be prevented. There are certain things that you can do to mitigate it. And there's going to be a workshop on that in Washington, and they're going to be discussing it. And that's going to be on Saturday, January the 20th. And that's going to start at 5 p.m. And that's going to be at the Osiriset Society in Washington, D.C., the Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street. In Northwest Washington, D.C., in case you need to MapQuest it, the zip code is 20011. Again, that's going to be Saturday, January the 20th, starting at 5 p.m. at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., zip code 20011. And the discussion is going to be on the dangers and the approaches to mitigate the harmful effects of EMF. Well, you know, the title was EMF, Is It Hurting Our Community? Well, you can see, I know you heard today that it definitely is. You talked about a lot. Was there more that you would like to share concerning the workshop or, you know, any of the talking points that we discussed tonight?
Well, I mean, we just kind of, there's so much stuff out here. Smart meters is another issue. They're putting them in everyone's home. If you have the option of not allowing them to put a smart meter in your home, you should not allow them to put a smart meter on your home. Because what a smart meter does is constantly sending these signals throughout your house and around your neighborhood. So you want to definitely, and there's all kinds of issues coming up. People are beginning to have problems based on their exposure to the radiation coming from the smart meters then put on their houses. So
when
I
suggest
everyone
smart meters, what is a smart meter for those who
a smart meter is a meter. You know, in old school electricity, old school when the electrical company wanted to bill you, they had to send somebody out to your house. They would read the meter. They would look at where the last bill, how much determine how much electricity you used, and then they would calculate your bill. Well, smart meter, now a guy can just drive down the street with a device, scan everybody's electrical meter, capture the data, and then they can conduct the bill. Well, the reason he's able to do that is because the meter is sending the signals through Wi-Fi down through the neighborhood. So he's able to pick up the Wi-Fi signal and capture the data off the meter. But the Wi-Fi signal is the same radiation that's affecting coming off your cell phone and Wi-Fi in your home, etc. So it's coming from your house and your neighbor's house. So the signal is being sent from your house to your neighbor's house down the block to a central location where he captures it all. So since increasing the amount of Wi-Fi radiation in your neighborhood, in your environment, and running through your home.
So if they take the smart meter off, if you have it, then the guy, and he's just going to have to collect it the old-fashioned way. He's going to have to come out and read the meter.
Mm-hmm. But they ain't going to let you take it off.
Okay.
People have gone to jail trying to stop them around the country. As more people are becoming aware of this, people have been fighting back. People have gone to jail trying to restrict them from putting these smart meters on the home.
Wow. So if then you can't take it off, then, I mean,
in some states
you can
opt out. But check this out. If you opt out, you have to pay them every month more money because you opted out of something you didn't even want. These folks are wicked, man. They're wicked.
Man.
So I suggest everyone go to EHTrust. That's EHTrust.org. All the information you'll ever want to see or know about this stuff is there. It's a phenomenal website. It's sponsored by a woman named Deborah Davis. She used to be in charge of the Environmental Toxicology Department under Clinton. And she was one of the people that led the assault on, well, not the assault, but the public campaigns to protect the public from lead paint and those kinds of things. So she's really a pioneer and really a force to be reckoned with in this industry. So they should go there and check out this information.
Wow. And this is really a lot to chew on. This has really truly been, I mean, I've done a lot of shows, and this is definitely, you know, one of the most important shows, if not the most important show that I've ever done, you know, and, you know, just with this information, because, again, we're talking about stuff people don't even think about, you know, you don't even think that, I mean, you know, there are people when it comes to cell phones, they know, okay, I know not to put the cell phone to the side of my head. I know if I'm going to talk on it. You know, some people know not to text and drive, you know. But nobody, I'm sure, listening to this show, besides you possibly, knew the magnitude of this, you know. I mean, and so I just want to encourage everybody, again, to go back, listen to the show again, and take what steps that you can take. You know, you might not, you know, be able to get them to take the thing off your house, the smart meter off your house, but there are certain things that you can do that can help to mitigate the effects of EMF frequencies. And that, of course, you want to, if you're in the D.C. area, make sure that you're at that workshop. Again, that's going to be Saturday, January the 20th, starting at 5 p.m. at the Osiriset Society in Washington, D.C., which is 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, 20011, and make sure that you get there early because I'm sure it's going to be packed. Again, the discussion is going to be on the dangers and approaches to mitigate the harmful effects of EMF. Again, I just want to say thank you so much, brother. If there's any, I want to squeeze, you know, this is one of those shows you don't want to end. It's like if you got anything else, anything else you want to share, please feel free. If there's more that you have, you know, please feel free. And I'm good on time, because this is just so important. And, you know, for those who are at different places throughout the country, maybe even in the world, that won't be able to make it to the workshop, you at least have the information, and you have the web address where you can go to learn more information and on how you can protect yourself, your family, and even the planet and the future of the planet, because this information is invaluable. Anything else, Orwa?
No, just be, you know, be smart about these devices. People shouldn't put laptops in their lap. And you should, laptops should be on the table, tablets should be on the table, away from the body. Because, again, it's radiation. It's heat, it's just not the heat. It's also the radiation. And should cable your devices, cable Ethernet, cable your devices whenever possible. Or use airplane mode. Or cut the Wi-Fi off.
And mothers and fathers,
Wi-Fi off
parents,
at night when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep at night,
no cell phone in the pillow. No cell phone in the bed. You know. Also, parents, do not heat your baby's formula up in the microwave. Okay, don't do that. Okay, that's a no-no.
Don't use baby monitors.
Baby monitors.
Baby monitors. Yeah, same thing. Baby monitors you put in it next to the crib. It uses the same radiation to communicate.
Okay. Wow.
I mean,
this
stuff
is so
pervasive. It's incredible.
And then you have people who will say, well, gosh, you know, you got to die of something. you know, you got to die of something. But it's like for those who take that position, I asked another guest, I posed that to them. What do you say to people that say you got to die of something? They said those same people, they say that. They say you got to die of something. Those are the same people when they get sick. They're the first ones to run to the doctor. They don't say, oh, well, I guess it's my time to
not
go.
That.
You got to die of
something. Yeah.
Give me a pill, you know. Give me something. Cut it off, you know what I mean? Whatever. They'll do whatever it takes to stay here. They don't just say, it's my time to go. I go, well, I guess I'm out of here. They do whatever they can to, you know, stay here on the planet. So be preventive. You know, take preventative measures to stay here on the planet, to make sure that you're healthy and that your family's healthy and that the community is healthy, that our schools are healthy, you know, because this is where we live. This is where we grow. This is our planet, and we're here for a while, you know, and while we're on it, we want to make sure that, you know, we're not doing anything to harm it and that we're not doing anything to harm ourselves, you know, just trying to be technologically advanced, you know. A lot of people have to have the latest cell phone, the new cell phone, you know. We all are familiar with Reginald Lewis, the author who was president of Beatrice Foods, who, when the cell phones first came out, ended up with a tumor, a brain tumor, as a result of cell phone usage. So everybody, please be careful. Be careful. Be wise, and as Orwa said, be smart. Brother Orwa, thank you so much.
Let me ask this last little piece. We've talked about the health implications and the effects on people, et cetera. Well, the one thing we haven't talked about is the environmental effects and the social effects of this use relative to Africa.
Mm.
All this technology needs a mineral called coltan, which comes from the Congo. There are estimates that say for every phone that's produced, 2 children die.
Oh, man.
In the Congo. So people who are out there buying a phone every year, hooked into this psycho, I got to have the new phone, got to stand in line for the new phone. Think about that the next time. I have a Galaxy Note version 4. I think they're up to version 8 yet, right, at this point. It still does what I need to do. I can make calls. I can get text messages. I can do what I need to do. Why do I need to buy a new phone every year? There are also, because the coltan that's been produced, a large part of it is through these camps where children are forced to work as miners. And they're dying. Thousands of them have died. So we want to be mindful of the social impact of this whole thing on Africa. The fact that we have computers, all this stuff is based on this mineral, coltan, that comes out of Africa. The largest amount that comes out of Africa. So there are cell phone companies, as a matter of fact, who are now making phones which have certifiable. You know how people used to say this is a non-conflict diamond. Well, there are people making phones now that can certify that the coltan did not come from any of these areas where children are being forced to mine and are dying in the mines and from the exposure to the toxic, because it takes toxic metals for them to get the stuff out of the ore. So they're not just dying from the effect of the mining itself, but from the toxic metals they use to get the coltan out of the ore. So the next time someone goes to try to buy a new phone, think about that. You could be sentencing 2 or 3 African children to death just by purchasing that iPhone.
Wow. You know, this just when I hear shows like this, and it's, you know, the last part you talked about is movies, because we don't think about that. We don't even think about the effects. You know, you just broke it down. We don't even think about the effects or even consider the effects that it might have on somebody else, even in another country. We're thinking about the effects that it might have on us, you know, much less the effects of some child in the Congo, you know. So that is something to think about, and that just makes me really want to promote other shows that I've done with Dr. Orwine Comet, because if we all became divine, if we all really, really strove towards becoming divine being that we were placed here to be, then these issues, we would be having a different conversation. So I encourage everybody to go back in the archives and listen to shows with Dr. Incomit. We've talked about the 11 Laws of God. That was a series that we did. All that's in the archives. The 7 Divisions of the Spirit, that's in the archives. The Asante Model, that was another powerful series. That's in the archives. Matter of fact, I want to just let you know also, before we let him go, there's got another workshop coming up in February on African names, and make sure I got that right. That's going to be on February the 3rd. That's a Saturday, Orwa?
Yes.
Okay, that's Saturday, February the 3rd, starting at 5 p.m., also at the Asterisk Society in D.C. That's 6224 3rd Street in Northwest Washington, 20011. Again, that's going to be, I'm sure, based on his book, African Names. Awesome, awesome book, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. And you'll be discussing, I guess, the connection between the name and one's destiny, Orwa?
Sure, exactly. And that's for choosing names and what the role, the power the name has and the effect the name can have in terms of helping us with our spiritual evolution.
Everybody, if you're in the D.C. area, then you definitely want to make that. Again, that's on February the 3rd, starting at 5 p.m., also at the Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street in Washington, D.C. Zip is 20011, and again, that's Northwest. Brother Orwa, again, I thank you so much, my brother, for laying it out for us today. Everybody, make sure that you make the workshop. That's from 5 until what, Orwa?
Which one? This weekend?
Yes.
Well, we start at 5 and we end when we end.
Okay. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of information. And you're going to be wiser as a result of going to that workshop. Brother Orwa, again, I thank you so much for all that you do, not just for being a guest on my show. I mean, there's so many things that we talk to people and they do things that on our behalf that we're not even aware of, you know. So I just want to thank you for all of the time that you've given to us, your people, you know, and all of the classes that you've taught. I mean, all of the trips that you've made, forging alliances and, you know, helping people and, you know, just being the king that you were ordained to be. And I thank you so much for everything that you've done. I want to also give a shout-out and special thanks to Shechem Shechem, Dr. Rahu Nefer Amen I, the King of Kings of the Osiris Set Society, to all of the Orowas and Orowats and Shechems and Shechems. Thank you so much for all of the work that you do in teaching us and being patient with us and guiding us and, you know, sharing with us and helping us in our quest to become divine. Everybody, thank you so much. Brother Orwa, I will be in touch. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Hetep, and thanks again for the opportunity.
No problem. Anytime. Hetep. Everybody, that is Dr. Orwa Hehi Medura in Comet. Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osara Set Society. Awesome, awesome show tonight. Very, very powerful information. Life-changing, potentially life-saving information. EMF, is it hurting our community? Yes, it is. You want to learn how you can help to mitigate that? There's going to be a discussion on the dangers and approaches to mitigating the effects of EMF, and that's going to be Saturday, January the 20th, starting at 5 p.m. at the Osara Set Society in D.C. That's at the Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code there is 20011. You can't afford to miss that, okay? Also, want to make you aware of another workshop that's going on the 27th, though. As you mentioned, everybody, you know Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's a regular on the show. Well, she's hosting the Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit, and that's on Saturday, January the 27th, starting at 9 a.m., and that's from 9 to 4:30 p.m. Now, if you get there early, you'll be able to take advantage of a free yoga class. That's starting at 8:15. That's going to be from 8:15 until 9. That's just to get you ready for your day, okay? So just because you come to the workshop, they don't want you to miss your yoga, okay? So definitely get there early. If you get there at 8:15, there's going to be a free 8:15 to 9 a.m. yoga class. But the event, the Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit, is from 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. And some of the highlights are going to be, there's going to be a summit wellness fair. There'll be keynote addresses. Of course, Dr. Lathan is going to be speaking. There are going to be free giveaways. There's going to be a plant-based continental breakfast and luncheon. And this is the fourth year of the Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. And that's going to be at 3600 John McCormick Drive, Northeast, Washington, D.C. The zip code there is 20017. It's at Catholic University. So if you want to get the early bird discount, well, no, actually, you can't do that. That's passed, okay? You could have got that if you had registered by December the 31st. But for more information, go to www.myhealthsummit.com. That's www.myhealthsummit.com. Again, that's the Ruby Lathan hosted Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit, starting at 9, ending at 4:30 p.m. That's on Saturday, January the 27th, of course, 2018. They're going to be free giveaways. There's going to be a summit wellness fair. And again, if you get there early, get there at 8:15, you can take advantage of the free yoga class, all right? Again, go to www.myhealthsummit.com for more information again, okay? So where are you going to be on, tell me, where are you going to be on the 20th, okay? I know where you're going to be. You're going to be at the Osara Set Society, right? You know, anytime you get information that can save your life, change your life, enhance the quality of your life, you need to be there. You need to get it, and you need to share that information, and don't take things for granted, you know. Remember that song, Everything Must Change, Nothing Stays the Same? That's true. Things do change, okay? And we want to make sure that the changes in our life are for the better. And there are going to be some things that we might need to change to ensure that the changes in our life are for the better, okay? You want to live a life that's filled with joy and peace and harmony. There might be some things that you have to do to ensure that, okay? Being mindful of some of the things that we just take for granted, like the cell phones and the microwaves and, the power lines and all of these things, they affect us. We just get up and go. I mean, as I mentioned a few things that I just found out about that you might not have known you might have. But anyway, it's worth repeating. I mean, hey, don't use an electric blanket. You can get rid of that electric shaver. You know, hey, you need to shave, bro. Get you a Bic shaver or something. Just one of them handheld ones. Work that, okay? Hair dryers, okay? There's so many things. Go to the website that Orwa gave and learn more about EMF frequencies and what they do to the body, what they do to the environment. And please don't forget what Orwa said about even the little children in the Congo that are mining this mineral so that you can have a cell phone. Be mindful of that, okay? So, as you go through your day, remember, the things that you take for granted, they could be hurting you. So make sure that you're at the workshop to make sure that if, in fact, they are, that there are ways that you can mitigate the effects of it, okay? My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I encourage you to go down the archives. You'll love it. Also, if you're tuning in for the first time, or if you've been a regular listener but you haven't followed the show, you can follow this show, right? All you have to do is just click follow, and you can get updates on every time I do a show. You'll be notified on who the guest is going to be. You can be notified of the topic. You'll be notified of the day, and you'll be notified of the time, okay? So, again, speaking of time, thank you for yours. Again, my name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Catch a poo.